Hello, everyone. Our beloved Danielle Schneider is away on assignment this week. And I do mean assignment because what she's doing affects us all, her work. And we're going to reveal more about that on a very special episode coming up. But for now, Lord lift us up where we belong because we have a gorgeous co-host who is filling in for Danielle. You know her. You love her. She's absolutely hilarious. She's done the podcast a million times and is also responsible for really all the comedy visually that you see at all of our live from home and live shows. She edits all of our amazing videos. Please welcome friend, actress, writer, Deanna Chang.
Oh my gosh, what an intro. Hi, Casey Rose.
Hi, Deanna Marie.
How are you?
I'm great. I mean, I'm in my son's closet. This is now what it's come to for me.
I like this is good. This is where I think it is the right place to be for sound.
This is, you know, I've been doing the podcast in my son's room. So please know, never in an office because he's got great sound in there. But now, and I hate to say this to our listeners, that I've just been accepting that, but I'm narrating a podcast for Wondery that is I love that I'll tell you all about later. But they came over and they were like, no.
They're like,
you know, no.
It's hard because, you know, Danielle's had so much feedback around her sound and visual aids.
That's right. And literal feedback. Yeah.
Yeah. And right feedback in every which way. And so, you know, you thought you were sitting real pretty and then.
Turns out.
Yeah.
I can't skate by forever, can I? Well, now I'm sitting in a closet with my son's quilts and blankets like draped all around me like it seems quite strange. Yeah. But I'm no stranger to closets. As you know, I moved into mine after my mom died. So I actually feel very comfortable here.
Yeah, you know? There's a sense of like, this feels good, quite frankly.
It does feel good. Don't you? I like smaller rooms when everyone's always like, we need open concept and this, that. I'm like, I want closed concept.
You want to be held.
Yes.
And cradled.
That's how we came into this world.
Right. Yeah. A womb.
Yeah. A womb. I also did. I'm doing one little plug for myself, if I may, Deanna, that involves audio. Which is that also in this closet, I've been working for a few weeks on a piece for a few months on a piece for This American Life on NPR, Ira Glass's show.
Oh my God.
And it came out a couple of days ago and I am interviewing my father in it about the period of time after my mom died. And it's a 20-minute piece. I had such an amazing time doing it. And it's called The Year of Manical Thinking. Mm-hmm. And Paul Wilson is interviewed and we really, honestly, it was like a therapy session for us. And was produced by my pal, Elna Baker. And I don't know, check it out if you're interested in crying.
It's up right now?
It's up right now, and it's about grief. And I know a lot of listeners have responded to the discussions of grief over the years and what happens. You know this, Deanna, just all the kind of, just how everyone grieves so differently and grieves even the same people so differently.
Yeah.
And then my dad and I were like judging each other for how the other one was grieving, even though the other one, then I would be like, well, I'm doing great. But my dad's over there doing that. And he was like, I am really killing it here. Meanwhile, like, we were both completely untethered.
Yeah. I like rating your own grief and sort of giving yourself a nice pat on the back for it, you know?
Ooh, I felt good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, healthy, healthy, healthy.
Oh, man.
Oh, full steam ahead.
Wild. A wild journey. That we all, no one can escape it. You know, it's coming for all of us, unfortunately. If you're lucky, you get to grieve because that means you're still here.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I thought you were going to say if you're lucky if you're grieving because it is so indicative of the love you had for that person. But I like what you
said. That's true, too.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I know. I as we get older, I'm like, oh, it used to be because for you and I, Deanna, our moms died fairly young. And I think it used to feel like grief really hadn't touched that many people at that, mm-hmm. you know, and now, you know, this life marches on and it is fucking hard.
So hard.
So hard.
So
and grief
hard.
Changes. That's what's so.
It does. The one constant for me always, 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 always is, and it's going to make me cry. I miss hopping on the phone with my parents while I'm driving. That is the hardest thing for me.
Yeah. Just a quick hi and a catch up.
Yeah. Just a quick shoot in the breeze, catch in, laugh, you know.
And no one loves to shoot the breeze more than you.
I love to shoot the breeze. And I love to just hop on the horn real quick, you know.
Real quick.
Yeah. Oh.
Your parents, I mean, legends, both of them.
No doubt.
Legends.
No doubt. Legend.
No doubt.
Legendary.
I had the honor, the absolute distinct honor of standing. We talked about this the other day. So standing in for you. So you had moved to the West Coast before June and I had.
Yeah.
And your dad simply said, hey, I need Case to come over to Long Island and stand in for Deanna in our family Christmas card.
Annual Christmas card. Yeah.
And I said, I'll be there. What time? You know, honored. And then your dad was very clear, like, you will be cut out of this. Your head, I think, was put on my body. I'm not sure, but it looked great.
And Casey, were you there? I feel like, was there one or two? What I'm remembering is either there was you just there with a holding my headshot over your face.
Yeah, that was a few. Our heads weren't in editing at that point. You know, right. Like this head's going on that body. And like, we weren't there.
You weren't in a Photoshop area at that time.
It wasn't even like, you know what, let's just take the family we have and then we'll put a little like circle of Deanna. You know, no.
Yeah.
It was like, we need a warm body here and we need a headshot over someone else's face.
Sure, sure, sure.
And Casey's going to come in from the city for that.
Right. You know? And you're going to have to buy an LIRR ticket for me to make that happen.
Yeah. And I was like, absolutely, I'll be there.
My parents loved you, Miss Casey Wilson. That is for sure.
They were the best of all time. Think about them all the time. Yeah, driving home is a very tough. You're absolutely right. Your fingers still want to do, or at least for me, want to do the dialing.
Yep. Absolutely.
After all these years.
Yeah. I would still love to just, that's what I miss the most in many ways. You know what I mean? Like the thing, yeah, I just really want to do all the time, where other things have been more like you get, you know, they're in a better spot in terms of understanding, but that is still an active like craving.
Yeah. Do you still remember your parents' voicemail memo?
I have one of my dad on my other phone, but there one that is just so classic. When I was in college with my mom and my roommate Jenny and I used to do it all the time. She'd call up, she'd go, "Hello, Deanna. It's mommy." Okay. Click.
Ha! Okay says it all.
Yeah. That's it. Like,
that's the content.
Uh-huh.
Done.
Beginning, did it.
Middle, end.
Middle and end. It's mommy. Okay.
We don't need more.
What else is there to say?
I love your mom's classic on Christmas. Have a Merry.
Have a Merry.
Oh, it's too good. I was just reminded of a family message we all left. I can't believe it's coming to me, the entire thing. I think I was like 7, which was the following.
This was on your home recorder?
Yes. Okay. We all 4 people sang this.
Oh, wow.
"You've reached 836-7971 and we can't come to the phone. Please leave your message and your name after the sound of the tone. Thank you for calling our home."
That's buck wild.
I haven't thought of that in years. That felt good to access that memory.
Wow, Casey. That is very strong.
That's like the opposite of a traumatic memory that's downloaded that you haven't thought of.
Yeah. No, that gave you it gave me a lift.
Yeah. But I have my mom's. I remember when my dad told me he changed the message and I almost drove off the road.
Oh, dear.
But it was like 2 years after my mom died. So it had been on there. My dad was like, "I think it's a little abrupt for people to still hear it." I could have had this message for 20 more years.
Listen, and I think I experienced that too with my dad, is just like he wanted, and I think it makes sense it with some distance. It's like they need to pack some things away to move forward, right? And we want to pack nothing. I was like, "You go down to that basement. You have a ton of shit down there. You clean that up. Leave mommy's stuff alone." Like, I'm like, why do we have to? And I remember saying to my therapist,
"If we need to pack stuff, why does it have to be our mom's stuff?
Why? Why do we have to empty out their drawers? Why? I like seeing her stuff there. Who cares?" And she was like, "Well, it's just not what you do. You keep one or two things, and that's what people do to process. And like, it is a healthy thing. And I still don't really care for it."
Yeah. Why can't we keep all the drawers and everything? I'm with you.
Who cares? I mean, leave it. Right. I mean,
I have it so burned. I would call the house and my mom would say, "Wait, let me just see if I can access it. Hi, you've reached the Wilsons. We can't come to the phone. Leave a message."
Oh, so, wow. Kathy.
Kind of like voiceovery, yeah, like velvety.
Very smooth operator. I like it.
Yeah. Like it was, it made a, packed a punch when you called the house. So then to hear like my dad like trying to find the button and like silence for a while.
For the love of God. It's such a downgrade, you know, just like a real bottom barrel downgrade. Thanks a
real
lot.
Wah, wah. Yeah.
Well, and I will say your mom, I have such a distinct memory of just being a team. Never has like someone been team so-and-so. Like that was even before we had like team. She's team Casey, the house down boots, like ride or die, the wind beneath your wings.
I know. It was almost, it was upsetting too.
No,
yeah.
But I mean, like that's just energy. She had so much energy and so much like just, there was just an, you felt how she just was behind you with all of the force of that she could muster.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why do you laugh?
I just laugh because I was thinking about how I lived in this very strange apartment and she came to visit and found cigarettes, you know?
Okay.
And when she left, I went into my room and she had put them all around the room in different places,
sure.
Like next to lipsticks.
Sure.
Shoved in and then one over here. Like I saw all these.
I guess she did.
You know what I mean? Like one's lined up with my pencils. Like one looked like a mint on the pillow.
Uh-huh. She had fun with it.
You know, she just, one was in the soap dish, just like saw them all.
Oh, wow. This is so good.
Avant-garde work.
Sort of like, yeah, it is an art installation, ultimately.
It is. And it, one of them was like, ugh. And then as you keep finding them, and I would find them for like a day or two.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh. It was like, nope, still, I'm still here.
I'm
seeing
still
this.
Here. I am present. And how does it feel? And what are your new choices and all of that?
Yeah. As you clean these up.
Yeah. Think about it.
Think about it.
A little bit. Think about it. Yeah.
Think about it. Oh, my God, in heaven. Well, you know, Deanna, to shift gears into a happier.
Mm-hmm. Although I enjoyed myself, I got to say. Just now.
Me too.
It was nice. I mean, I don't know that anyone else will, but I had a nice time.
Yeah, that was fun.
Uh-huh. For us.
It did feel fun. Oh my God. So much of this podcast. I'm like, it felt fun for me, but I don't know if anyone else is having fun, but we can all access the fast forward button.
That's,
you know?
100% correct.
Or the stop button. We all have free will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is death and then there is life and rebirth and celebration and joy. And we, though the world be falling down around us, accessed some real joy last weekend.
Wow.
15 gals and two gentlemen mm-hmm. took our asses, our fat asses, P-H-A-T, out to Palm Springs to the Ace Hotel, like a party hotel.
Partay!
With the youngsters. We were with the youngsters for Matt McConkie's bachelor party.
Yeah, that needs to be, have its due. I mean.
Yeah. King McConkie's bachelor party.
15 is not even, that's a lot more than I really knew. It didn't feel that big. It didn't feel like 15. It felt like about 10, which I think is a good thing. It felt intimate and so much fun. And that Ace Hotel is a party.
The hot tub was open till 2:30, and that didn't feel like even nearly long enough for the people of that hotel. I've never been at a hotel when you come home from dinner at midnight or 1:30. It's as bustling as it is at 11 a.m. by the pool. You know what I mean? It is bustling. Nobody slept there.
No. And spirits were just high. It was never felt too much. It never felt mm-hmm. like people were being obnoxious even.
No, we were all like, we're all here to party. And if
That's
you're
right.
not, get out of this hotel because we are.
And I will say, did you agree with me that the Ace has some balls on them for what they charge for their accommodation?
The Ace.
I mean, some hard... hanging cojones on them for what they charge for like the accommodations. Now, if they're like, listen, you're going to get the room, you're going to, I mean, our room was fine, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? You're going to get the room you're going to get, but what you're paying for is a goddamn good time. Then they're not wrong.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's the more like it's ephemeral. It's hard to pin down.
Is.
But it's like, did the Ace provide the good time or did we provide the good time when a gorgeous stripper named Jeremy came to the room? to cool up an ice room where we gathered everyone. And the theme of the weekend was The Wizard of Oz. That's Matt's favorite movie since he was little. I mean, an absolute obsession. So we were off to see The Wizard as our theme. And it only felt right to me for the stripper to arrive in a Tin Man costume, which he did. But it was his idea because all great creative well, the costume was my idea.
Okay.
But here's where all great creative ideas are collaborations.
Sure.
Because Jeremy sure did arrive with a huge kind of sound system. And he asked to walk in playing that sexy song Somewhere Over the Rainbow. You have not lived till you've seen a man come in a silver thong with a pointy hat. Somewhere. Everyone was like, oh.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot to like orient yourself around.
You did have to get centered. That's for sure.
And you really had to get centered with what proceeded to happen with Jeremy.
Well,
Jeremy gave us the full peen.
He did. Now, is that something that was part of the menu? That is there, during
look,
the setup?
Look, of course it was requested.
Okay.
Now, our dear friends, Erin Pineda, gorgeous actress, and our friend Laura Kindred, they were on Jeremy duty since day one.
Oh, wow.
And we kept laughing because they would be like, which guys do you guys want? Here's the menu. And we're like, we're going to get who's on shift that night. Like, let's not kid ourselves. We're picking gentlemen 3 months ahead, you know?
Sure.
But it's like casting is destiny. And we got the lovely Jeremy. Gorgeous. Gorgeous.
He did great. You know.
Look, we had asked, and it's a hard ask. Right. You know, Erin did it with aplomb. She said simply, may we see your penis? You know, may we. Over text.
Oh, I mean, there's no one better for that particular job.
It's everybody. What is that? That little saying, every screw has its hole? No. Every nut has its house?
Not sure we're still there, but still, like, we get the essence of it. And she was the right nut for that house, you know?
That's right.
Yeah, definitely the right nut for that house. I mean, she has a ease with a stripper that I'll never have, you know? So there's just an exchange of energy. She will always be the one that strippers gravitate to.
Yeah.
Go-go
it's
boys
a beautiful connection.
To. It is a gorgeous connection. And so
she's up there paying everyone their due and
that's
then
right.
some.
It's an exchange of energy.
Yes. It's more than an exchange of goods. It's an exchange of energy. You're right. It's a meeting of the minds.
And it's game recognized game. It's all of that. You know?
You're absolutely right. Because when she danced across, we went to a club. I mean, the amount of men
in small underwear.
Saw. Yeah.
There's a lot of like hanging meat over the.
Yeah. And we all got at some of that meat at various points and in various ways I won't delve into. But God, it was fucking fun. And then at dinner, I'm going to bring one more thing that was so special, I thought.
Okay.
You know, so we had this Wizard of Oz theme. And then we zoomed in with Matt's mom, who was wearing a Glinda the Good Witch costume. And Matt started crying, and it was so special.
And I think you have to even just imagine, she is such a, oh God, it's so important to know also what Evelyn is bringing to the table in that outfit. Yeah. It was like, never has a face and a body met their moment it was transformative.
It was transcendent. And she was so excited to do it. And she looked amazing. It was like, honestly, it was the cutest thing I've ever seen.
It was so precious. And Matt was like, I love you, mama. I mean, we all burst into tears. It was
when
like,
he said, I love you, mama, crying. I was like, oh.
He was so, I'm going to cry. It was so special.
We would all be so lucky to raise kids that would feel about us the way Matt feels about Evelyn.
It was next level.
Look, all to say, we had such a beautiful weekend celebrating Matt.
It was a blast.
A blast. And we learned just how many of us fall asleep listening to Dateline blaring. You know, just blaring in our ears. And as June said, it's hard sometimes because you fall asleep so quick. You know you've lost someone, but we don't, unfortunately, end up finding out who the killer was. Mm-hmm. I had not listened to The Truth About Helen and Olga. Have you heard that on Dateline?
I have not heard The Truth About Those Two.
The Truth About Those Two is so fucking dark. It's dark as night. As Keith Olbermann would say, it's as dark as a California cabernet. He goes, her smile was as wide as a three-car garage.
Oh, I like that.
It's the best. Just get into The Truth About Helen and Olga.
Okay.
You know, it's similar to The Truth About Pam or The Thing About Pam. Yeah. It's The Thing About Helen and Olga. Just get to it. And also, I really liked The Thing About Pam. The show is really, really good.
I heard it's really good. I need to see that. I definitely heard the podcast. I'm into going further.
Indiana, we must talk about the electric news that has come out of New York City this week, which is the news that Bravo is to reboot Real Housewives of New York City with a new cast and launch second Roni with X stars.
Oh, I did not understand that.
The Brain Trust really regrouped here. It's a radical new plan, you know.
So we're going to have our regular Real Housewives of New York.
Well, here's what Andy says, and I'll give a little quote. He says, the two-part strategy, quote, takes into account everything that our passionate audience has really been telling us over the last year. It involves rebooting and recasting the series, most likely from scratch, and launching a second Roni series featuring former cast members. So he said, we know we're at a crossroads for Roni. We spent a lot of time figuring out where to go. And the plan that we've come up with, I think, is a real gift to the fans. Now, I certainly think two shows is a gift in that we have double the
volume,
double the listening. But internally now, the shows are being referred to as, I mean, this is just unexpected, as Roni Throwback and Roni Legacy.
Wow.
Now, which is which, Deanna?
I would have to imagine that Legacy is the older cast members. I mean, but then what's Throwback?
That's question where I'm mark. At. Which is which?
Wow. Okay. I guess this headline came across my desk, but all I thought was we're shaking up the cast. I didn't know we had two shows. I mean, it's like, wow, last season was a bust, full stop. But we're not saying like, hey, Roni, you're done. We're saying we're going to do yet one more entire cast. Like, that's pretty crazy. I hope it works out.
It's really something. I saw someone sent me a tweet from The Third King, and he said, so basically we're getting Roni integrated and Roni segregated. Got it.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, God. Oh, God. That's so dark and so true. Oh, God. Oh, God.
I mean,
oh, God.
I don't know. I do know specifically, though, their aim is to include diversity that reflects the city of New York City. So that's wonderful. But I guess they're also like, but we got to keep these old whiteys kicking around. I don't know.
I don't love that. I'm really taking what was his name?
The Third King.
The Third King, I think, has nailed it. And that's tough. That's really tough. I mean, I guess more will be revealed, but it doesn't. I don't know. I like literally do not know how to feel on any level.
I don't know how to feel. I think we will need to wait and see.
Absolutely. Like there's no natural instinct coming up for me right now. Nothing organic or clear is presenting itself. I'm just sort of receiving.
Letting it wash over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look, we will continue, as Matt McConkie would say, to stay knelt and dwelt.
We must.
In prayer, and we will wait for more to be revealed.
That's right. That's all we can do.
Knelt and dwelt in prayer. It's all we can do right now.
And I'm going to stay
for
knelt
anything.
And dwelt. Right. It's really all you can never do, but in this situation,
let's remain
truly
there.
Truly not go out.
That's right.
Wow.
And let's remain there. Deanna, shall we take a break and come back and discuss New Jersey and Orange County?
Let's.
We're back.
Hi.
So let's get into New Jersey. You know, we're going to touch on it right now because our guest, who's kind of coming up, has a lot to say about New Jersey, as she has been a ghostwriter for a couple of the gals. So let's just get into where we are and where we stand with New Jersey in this current moment. Where
sure.
are you at, Deanna?
I mean, this particular episode, it felt like both episodes of OC and Jersey kind of felt, I don't know if you agree, like a little bit of filler eps, you know, one of those like where we're not getting like the most electric content. It's coming before and after, but I did have a nice time with some specifics on the show in Jersey. Like one thing I haven't gotten over is when, I mean, that scene between Marge and Jen was phenomenal. I thought
gorgeous.
Yeah.
When they were holding hands across the table
I felt it.
I did too. Like Bill tried to say like, oh, really? You think you're going to move forward? And it's like, actually, I did feel there's major potential to move forward. I did feel that.
Absolutely. I think Jen, you know, God, is she a housewife? Jen is really top tier stuff.
Goddamn.
She's top tier stuff. And her vulnerability, she was just so broken open in a way that at points I was saying to myself, wow, is she just coming at this like a brilliant ninja, knowing the moves she needs to make? Or is this 100% vulnerable and true? And I think it probably falls like 90-10 true, and like 10% she knows what she has to do in the show on some level, like to get her footing back with the group. All to be said, when I was obsessed with all of the coffee in this episode, and
so much iced coffee, so working goblets,
huge goblets, huge mugs. Marge ordered, and I quote, a black coffee. Next frame, she has two packages of sweetener. Next frame, a full size Snickerdoodle coffee mate was on the table. I was like, what's happening? Yes, it was so crazy. I'm like, that, first of all, only on the East Coast are you getting full size Snickerdoodle type coffee mates, full size on the table, like the thing you'd have in your fridge. You know what I mean? Like, it's not
right. And I've never seen it at the table.
Yeah. And also, what happened from a cup of black coffee? Like, was that in her large bag? Like, what? How did it get there?
Honestly, I would not be surprised if Marge, I bet you she brought
if she
that.
She came with.
I feel like she's like, I like my coffee the way I like it.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. You know?
I couldn't get over it.
I mean, now you have very specific coffee.
I do. Very. I do. Very.
So may I share your?
Sure.
Okay. So Deanna has been to lovely effect, been on keto for 2 years, 3 years?
I've been on it for about, I would say close to 2 years, and a modified version at this point. I do probably like the least gross version of keto in terms of I eat a
you're
lot of
like
vegetables.
You're not like piling like 27 pieces of bacon on your plate.
No. I may not see bacon for many months, or, you know, like I'm not doing that thing. But yes, my coffee is very important to me, and it's very specific.
Can we hear it? People are going to need it. And how it's your on and off days, I need it again.
Well, and I've fallen off on that, doing intermittent fasting. I need to get back on the horse with that. But, and P.S., I hate talking about people's diets. I think weight is boring and unimpressive and not a topic that I find interesting. With that said, here we go. I do.
I just need to know what you put in these coffees.
Sure, it's I understand.
Makes it so specific.
I know. I do Pete's coffee. I'm ride or die for Pete's coffee. Anything else, I'm not happy. I don't feel satisfied. I don't feel complete.
You don't feel safe.
I don't feel safe. Like, if I don't have my Pete's, I'll need to drink pots of other coffee, Starbucks. I could do coffee and I could do this, I could do that, and a vanilla nut, just to try to get what I catch off of a Pete's. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. I do.
Okay.
And are we catching it in a pot of it, or are we catching a pod with like a
Keurig? I make a pot. Okay. I make a pot, not a full pot. I probably do about, you know, I get two nice big cups of coffee from my pot in the morning. And then I'm putting in a nice splash. And this isn't going to sound great, you know, but it's a nice splash of heavy whipping cream. I don't know if you want to hear that or not.
I do.
You know, like, it is what it is.
You know, no one loves a heavier cream. The heavier, the better.
This is called heavy. You know, it's a heavy.
Tell everyone how you saw me order half and half once.
Oh my God, I'll never forget it in my whole life. I don't know what we were in a hotel in New York. Was it during like-
It was for the premiere of year one. It was right before we went to June's premiere.
The June was in year one. Great movie if you haven't seen it. So much fun, plug. And we're in a hotel room and you're laid across the bed and you're on the phone with room service and you're telling them, you're like, and bring half and half. More than comfortable. You're gonna put a certain amount of half and half on the tray and you're gonna think that's enough, but it's not. So more than feels right. More than feels right.
More than you're comfortable with. I have to say it because the normal rational mind, the rational mind is not where I'm coming from. So we all have different scales, you know?
That's right.
Because most well-intentioned persons are like, there's no way this girl's going to want more than this.
This is plenty for anyone.
Sometimes I have to say, look, I genuinely, when you look back at this coffee after I'm done with it, you're going to see half and half of the splash of coffee. And that's the truth.
And so that's where we're coming from. So just kind of get there.
Yeah.
And it is right to push the boundaries on what someone knows to be creamer and amounts of creamer for a cup of coffee. It's like, listen.
I like to expand people's minds a lot in the sense of like, what you're going to see from my behavior is so far from what you're used to seeing.
Right.
You know?
So just recalibrate.
Like at the movies, you're going to see an amount of things bought and consumed that are going to, it's going to feel very uncomfortable.
You're going to keep questioning, is this all for her? Is she going to do this in one sitting? All of those thoughts. Can I have some?
Right. Is this coming home with her? Oh, well, definitely.
Yeah.
Can you have some?
I know. Believe me, I know. So after I do my heavy whipping cream, my HWC, I then throw in 2 pumps of sugar-free maple bourbon pecan syrup from Skinny Mixes.
Stop. Okay, wait. It's not even from Skinny Girl. We're not even giving Bethany that those dollars.
No, unfortunately. It's called Skinny Mixes. And
you know she's not happy about that.
Well, what are we going to do? I can't, you know, live my life. But yeah, the maple bourbon pecan is my only way with a home brew. If I'm, you know, when I'm drinking, like that's, I just bought like 10 bottles just to have them on tap.
Because we're scared. What could happen? If they go down, what could happen?
Which I don't want. And I will say this much. Nothing provides me more comfort. Like I lived in such a tiny apartment before I moved into this place. And like to have room to store surplus, to have a garage where I can store surplus. There's nothing that brings me more comfort and just like settle something in me to have just extra of something.
Especially that maple pecan butter walnut.
I'll take a picture of it. It's a sugar-free maple bourbon pecan syrup.
Okay. Wow. 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 You know, speaking of your old apartment, which was so lovely, you know, that is the site that I did drag 12 women to. And Matt, if you'll recall, it was such a lovely apartment. And for June Sprinkle, for her second child, during this is the day, dead ass day, bright light day. Yeah. I said, you know, look, we have a very special moving video for June, which I feel bad about now because I was basically intimating like relatives have been interviewed, you know, and like why we can't watch the video at brunch. I don't know. But I was like, we must go to Deanna's and watch this special video. And June is 8 months pregnant. And knock, knock, knock. Speaking of Jeremy, the stripper, in comes a gorgeous gentleman with a pizza.
Pizza box and a cute, cute face.
Woo! Well, that's an LA stripper. I'm sorry. Like, this guy, you know, going to the top.
So anyway, for Jersey, I was very taken by food. I mean, Dolores's mom needing carrot cake first thing. I'll never recover from it. She's an icon and a legend. Yeah. I loved that so much.
Yep.
I just felt like there was great coffee at each location.
I'm all set on the ropes courses. Personally, I'm just like, I don't need more ropes courses. I'm not feeling Tracy. She's boring to me. Like, I just don't think she's given us what we need.
She's not. And I also think it takes balls to be brand new. First of all, when Tiki came on the screen, one of the first episodes, my husband, who I've never really heard him yell like this. He just like screamed. He was like, Tiki is a piece of shit. He left his pregnant wife for the babysitter. I think that's her. And I was like, oh, you know, like he got so mad. And
she's alluded to the fact that it's people like Wing and you that have really kind of hurt their lives, you know, as trolls, she calls you.
And listen, I don't know. Maybe we are, you know, like,
I'm
although,
kidding.
You know, no. I mean, like, yes, I'd love a clear timeline mapped out because if you're gonna have that in the background of your who am I, which is like he was married, she was pregnant. Those are not up for debate. So what the timeline is, like, yeah, really map it out for us with some like screen grabs, you know?
Well, and it's interesting. We're really not hearing anything about it, given that what's at the foreground is the fact that Dolores was pregnant when Frank cheated. And now we have Jen pregnant, you know, just giving birth and cheated. It's like, I'm kind of surprised people are like letting that one go. I think because Tiki's a cool guy, I think there's a feeling of like, he's nice. But I need more.
I need more too. And to be brand new on a show and setting up character, you know, group building activities, I'm like, you know what? That's not, no. You don't get to work on everyone's relationship minute one, new girl who is not bringing me much. Like, you want to set up a little lunch for everyone? You want to do something like that? That's fine. You want to get everyone in the pool? Great. But you don't get to like work on relationships. It's not working for me.
Yeah. And now when Dolores giving that warning scared me when she was like, I'm just telling you, Teresa is coming in hot and she's coming for you and she's coming
and
for
she's
you.
She's coming for you.
You felt Marge's heart. Both of their hearts skipped a beat, even though Marge was like, fine, I don't care. I was like,
she's like, let her. Yeah, no, it was.
I was like, I'm shaking.
She came in like Rambo with those bags and she's like, I'm not a woods person. I just loved everything about Teresa coming in hot. The warning of her coming in hot. Everyone freaking out. Miss Barber was freaking out. She was like, G-g-g-g. Like, it was just fun. I had a great time with it.
Fun.
You know,
I did, too. You know, last thing I'll say about Jersey, and I don't want to get too into this topic, but it was a bit of a bummer to me that Jackie's not taking the recommendations of the clinic.
Very much. Well, it shows you the disease.
Yeah, because what we're seeing is now is like, I want to be open and I want to expose people to all of this wonderful knowledge. But then it felt it really tipped into like, oh, this is what the disease and the denial and here it is. And it felt, it made me so sad.
I'm worried, you know.
And I was a little surprised Evan didn't give more pushback and say, like, if a major clinic is essentially prescribing this, like, you must go. But I guess it's like with these things, you're only ready when you're ready. Yeah. I know nothing about this. But
and I know. I mean, I think it was like, that's the disease right there. We're witnessing it. We're witnessing her being like, I know what I need to do. It's like, well, sweetheart, if you knew what you needed to do, you would have done it 20 years ago. You don't. That's why you went to this place for help. With love, you know?
Yeah, with love. Let's take a quick break and come back with Orange County.
Okay.
We're back. I took more notes than I ever have because I was a bit behind on Orange County, so much so that I was like, oh, I just quickly let me get all caught up in this episode. And I realized I had 5 to watch. I don't know how that happened. I don't.
Oh, boy.
You know, because I watched 5 episodes literally back to back last night. So I'm steeped.
You're steeped in the text.
You know, I waffle back and forth with like our Gina's and Emily's. Obviously, do I know there are gals? Like, they are who we are. You know, they're us. So, of course, I have a love for them. So I want to preface that. And I don't mean to seem like a snob or anything like that. But in just the pantheon of housewives, like, these women are just so unfunny. Like, when I'm looking at a New York, when I'm looking at an Atlanta, when I'm looking at a Potomac, the level of comeback that they're capable of, these women are just shooting right off the bat. From Gina, we get, at the end of the day, I feel bad for you. Like, we need more than that from you.
Right.
Then we've got, you know, Gina getting on a plane with a Do I Hear a Cork Pop shirt. Just as a level, I want everyone to kind of level up here in some way.
Yeah.
But then we see Gina in New York. We see her with her business. Like, I'm also very proud of her. I love her parents so much.
They were fantastic.
Fantastic. Like, they're just warm, nice people. And then I'm like in love with Gina and them all over again. You know, it's like I go on a journey where I'm like, I want more from you. And then I'm like, I'm getting great things from you. The fact that Gina would submit and sit down for a woman pulling a demon out of her mouth and throwing it out a window.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. First of all, that woman, I was like, that is not a qualified professional. Okay. That is the most bobo bootleg version of any kind of healer we've ever seen. Like, it's so bootleg. You know, we've had the healers and the whatnots that come in adorned with like weird jewelry and
yeah.
like flowy
dresses.
And
we've had the life coaches. Yeah.
Right. That's like one thing. And then we have the woman from Salt Lake City who was felt like a genuine when they were all out in that desert.
Sure.
She felt real to me. Like that's maybe the most actual real healer we've ever had that can do some healing. This woman is like, if you call me up and we're like, I think I have something in me. And I was like, all right, let me swing by and pull it out and throw it out the window. Like it was so, I don't feel that woman had any skill set. I think she made the whole thing up. And I do believe she got something out of her. So there's that too. But it just felt wild.
But I enjoyed every minute of it. And when they tried to hate on Noella and do that clip of like all the healers she'd worked with, when they were like, shaman, this, that, I thought, I've never related to someone more. And I don't need this. Actually, I don't need this clip package, like making fun of this woman who's clearly so grounded. I felt that hit a little too close to home. Yeah, now, I know it's been brought up, but the scene of Jen and Ryan at Heather's home for that dinner in which she made, you know, the undies toast was one of the more uncomfortable things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And she's like, my husband's so fucking awesome, loving so fucking much. And then so I looked up those people that were there. You know, they have a vineyard. There's bankruptcy issues going on with the Bellows, you know, the older couple.
Sure.
But he is a wine person, I guess, you know, and she's like, ah, yeah, this wine's fucking good. I was like, oh, my God. But I don't know, Jen, poor Jen.
I feel like, you know, she was sort of in the New Jersey Girls area for me of just like, you're too bland and you're not giving me anything. But she, I have sort of feel like we're catching more off of her and I am more.
Oh, I think we're getting a lot.
Intrigued by her now.
Now, I've spoken out very bravely and boldly on national television about Jen's daughter, Cece.
Okay.
And was surprised to not get a ton of feedback for calling her a little bee. But that was because I was defending Jen as a working mother. But now I've got some feedback for little Vince, her twin. Okay. Here is my feedback for little Vince.
I'm excited.
When he had the nerve. And these are 8-year-olds, okay? When he had the goddamn nerve and gall to stand under his mother's beautiful billboard that she's worked, okay, fought tooth and nail for, to say to his mother, whose job, okay, her job is to turn back the clock on gals and beauty, and he says, you look like you did a long time ago. Well, he's a little bee too.
Well,
both those
kids are, they got, I mean, maybe Ryan's feeding them some.
It is Ryan. So I don't blame the children. And I do believe the children are our future. But that was very tough for me.
Yeah.
I'm defending their mother with all of this.
Yeah, I'm with you.
She was like, oh, I would have been like, uh-uh.
Yeah, I don't think I think she's coming from so from under with them, like in terms of that they don't get any, she doesn't discipline them, I don't think, on any level or give them feedback.
Oh, God, no. Did you see the moment? Because Shannon, to me, gets so mad about almost the wrong things.
Yeah.
The most egregious moment to me. Did you catch this when she was at the buffet eating and Heather goes, put down the cheese. And Shannon, the look on her face, it was so mean. Oh. And you could tell Heather didn't even know why she said it. Like it was a very real, weird moment. And then Heather goes, I mean, you look great. It was like a moment that came from her subconscious and Shannon felt it.
Right. It was like Heather speaking to herself and it came out loud and she her real feelings.
And it was embarrassing. The way she said it was embarrassing. It wasn't embarrassing. Shannon was eating the cheese. It was.
No. I'm saying like it's like, you know, that's Heather shit she put on.
Yes. It was like, no. This is wrong.
Yes.
And then Shannon just breezed right by it.
Right. Yeah, I think Shannon's having a pretty great season, truth be told. I'm aligned with her 100%. I think Emily is being really annoying when it comes to Shannon. I'm not feeling it at all.
Emily is such a shit stirrer.
Yeah, Emily is definitely, she's stirring the shit. And see, we never get the names right. Gina is the one who I think is being really annoying, like in terms of.
I actually do too. I think she was really mean to Shannon.
Yeah, and Shannon is just like, what? Like, and I'm with her. I don't know what Gina's really talking about, to be honest. I don't get it. I don't know what's happening. Why is Gina's line, and I probably missed this, called Cara Gala? Like, why?
Oh, Deanna.
Did I miss it?
Deanna, I don't know. No, that's what it's called. I've been sitting on that.
Okay.
For so long.
I lost you for a second. No, you really?
I'm actually never been more here because.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. What's happening? Okay.
I don't know what to say because this has happened a lot. It's like what you have to trade on is your name. Now, granted, I can't remember that name and I can't pronounce your last name, but I'd like to see it incorporated. What was it? Caragallo?
Caragalla? Caragalla.
I don't know what it is, Deanna.
Okay, so I didn't know if I missed it or something, but I didn't understand why another lady's name was on her product.
It's the Kyle by Aileen too. Like it's all a little less. I want less emphasis on the events, on the ice sculptures. Yes. I want more emphasis.
More on branding.
On the name.
Yeah, like let's get branding down first.
An event. Last. Let's get sales, then let's get event.
Let's get in some, yeah, let's get gathered so we don't have to rebrand. Like, that's a rebrand begging. Caragalla right. is like Caragalla, Caragalla, whatever it is a rebrand, like already.
And you're right. Let's get ourselves gathered because then we're going to have to regroup.
We're already regrouping. The second I saw that name, I was like, well, we're already in a regroup.
Yeah. That's, immediate
that's
regroup.
It's like not possible that that will work.
Now, here's what I also do love about Emily. It both appalled and I loved it so much.
Yeah.
When she is doing a FaceTime with Shannon,
I died.
Emily then becomes our camera.
So, I died.
So what I'm now watching on my screen is my characters with a cracked cell phone case. And I'm just
I hate when they have cracked cell phones.
But it's like, you realize you're now filming. You've become yes. camera person in that moment.
Of course.
And she's like, of don't course. Give a fuck.
No, crack camera. There was a lag in the call. The volume was down. Someone took an accidental screenshot. It was just chaos, pure chaos. That FaceTime was chaos.
Absolute chaos. Cahoots, utter cahoots. I used to think it was cahoots, pronounced. wow. Okay. Anything else? Noella worries me.
Well, yeah, Noella is, I couldn't be. She couldn't have more terrible things going on, and I couldn't be less
empathic,
empathetic yeah. towards her. I just don't have it for her, unfortunately. Did Heather, and was it this episode, I typed down the words Rancho, Relaxo, and Hotel Sex.
I have it typed down. I have it typed here. Rancho, Relaxo. Is that something we all know what it is?
I think she was being cute, and I'm just like, I'm going to have to skip ever thinking about you having hotel sex with Terry. So just keep that pushing. Oh. And Rancho Relaxo is just not a thing that I'm willing to accept.
Rancho Relaxo, Rancho Mirage is a place.
Oh.
It's men's and women's apparel. No,
oh,
it's.
Oh, I thought. Oh.
It's also a New Jersey animal rescue.
Okay.
And it was on The Simpsons. It was strange as could be.
Oh, you did a Google. Yeah, you tried to get to the bottom of it. I think she was just like coining a phrase, like we're going to be Rancho Relaxo and have hotel sex. Yeah.
It was. I got into the promo for 7 year Stitch.
Yep.
Strange as strange could be.
Okay.
And then I'm like, oh, I thought you were actually kind of maybe trying to help your friend Jen in her marriage.
Exactly.
But now I see all roads lead back.
And it's upsetting. It's like I was actually that was something and now it's nothing. And I'm aggravated. And I don't look to you and Terry as any pillars of a community. And so, just like a no on that.
Nope. And, I had a very violent reaction to Heather's mother.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say. It was very hard to watch her interact with the leader.
It was tough. Very tough.
Very tough. And then to see Heather be like, I'm totally different than her. And then the way she ordered her drink, I was like, no, you're not actually. Mm-hmm. And I've been sniffing what you've been putting down for a while. And you think you're not like your mom, but it was actually.
Right. Look again.
Yeah, look again. You know better than to act rude in public. You have a little more self-awareness.
Right. But what's your real true instinct? Mm-hmm. It's all she's just everything, even watching her enter a party, the way she communicates with people, the way she it's all performative. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to get to one with her. just impossible.
And so much controlling. At one point, she poked her head in the door when we were in Syracuse. And the way they cut it, it was obvious. She was like popped her head into her kid's room and she goes, guys, we're going to get settled here. No, she goes, you're going to get settled here. You could have a little bit to eat. And then we're going to go out. And then it was Gina. And I was like, this woman talks to people. She talks so down to people. And it just makes me sad seeing Gina arrive to her parties being like, Heather does a different party every time. It's just some dynamic there I find strange.
I don't think we've ever seen a housewife fangirl over another housewife's wealth. And it's just like not a great look, you know? I mean, I don't know. I'm just like, girl.
It's not a great look to me on Heather.
Oh, okay. Because she loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Gina's just a really sweet person who is like, oh, her houses are, you know, her parties are beautiful.
I just want her to get a grip.
Yeah.
You know, get a grip.
Get a grip.
Stick a pin in it, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
I started getting confused about that phrase as it was said for the 20th time. I'm like, what does stick? You know what I mean? Like it was
when
said
Gina was
in
yelling,
many
put a
wrong
pin in
ways.
It. Put a pin in your head. Was that what she was saying at one point?
That's what I was like starting to get confused by it. She said it so many times.
Yeah, what does it mean like, now? Huh. Stick a pin in it?
Well, that's what I got. I lost my way.
Put a pin in it.
You know,
I thought it was put a pin in it. Like we'll get to that later. But she was acting like stick a pin in it. Like
stick a pin in it.
Shut your hole up.
Plug it up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like let's plug it up. Yeah.
Right. That was
confusing. Yeah, it's hard to say. I got lost in the sauce on that one.
I lost the thread there.
Yeah.
You got lost in the sugar-free almond pecan syrup. I think, Deanna, this has been a longer app because there's just been a lot to discuss.
We've been places.
We've been places. But I think we should take a break and come back with our final segment, the VIP, a very important guest. VIG.
Can't wait. I'm excited.
All right. Let's take a break. So, Deanna.
Yes.
We have a guest who's going to join us today who has done some very important work in our field. In our field of interest here, you know, and actually the job title that she has held in this realm, because she's an incredibly accomplished author in her own right, journalist. But in the realm that we're going to speak to her about today, it has been a topic of many a housewife debate and honestly, lawsuits, which is the area of ghostwriting.
Electric.
Electric stuff. I was introduced to this gal by a dear pal of mine, Heather Bauer, who is a lovely nutritionist and friend. And please welcome the USA Today bestselling author, Emily Liebert.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
An honor and a pleasure.
I feel the same way.
Emily, take us through. Now, you know, you're the author of 6 novels yourself, all extremely well-received. Take us through how one gets this coveted job and how can I get it?
So I think you have a pretty good job yourself. So I'm not sure you need this job, but
I'm sitting in my closet talking about the housewives. But go on.
It's very glamorous. So, you know, this is a funny situation. Before I wrote any of my own 7 books, and it is just 6 novels. One was, do you have that correct? One was narrative nonfiction.
See, I have journalistic integrity.
Someone brought a project to me to write one of the Real Housewives of New Jersey's book, and they need a very quick turnaround. They need the book written in 6 weeks.
In one day.
Totally.
6 weeks is insane.
This gal's fine with a pamphlet.
Yeah.
Totally. And she was like, I can't do it. First of all, I don't watch The Real Housewives, so I don't understand that world, and I'm not going to understand it fast enough to write a book on it in 6 weeks, and I have other projects. And she was really just telling me this as a matter of sharing, as authors do with each other. And it just so happened that I had just handed in my novel, Pretty Revenge, which was my 6th book.
I'm a housewife, I'm sure, stole that title as well.
Totally, right? And that was a good title. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I have a little time while my book's in edits. I certainly have 6 weeks. I'll do it. Okay. And she was like, what are you talking about? You can't just do it. You're not a ghostwriter. And I was like, how hard could it be to do this? Not only had I been writing my own novels, which is a very different thing, but I had been a journalist. I had been interviewing celebrities for years. And I said, look, and I watched the show. I've watched a lot of the different seasons.
And now what gal are we talking about, Emily?
well, I said, who is it? Who's the person? I mean, you know, I there's a difference between it being Teresa and it being, you know, some new girl on the show. And she said, it is in fact Teresa Giudice. And I was like, throw my hat in the ring. Ooh. Throw my hat in the ring.
Yes.
Woo! And they did.
Manifest.
Yeah. Partly I got lucky, I think, because it's hard to find someone who's able to just drop everything and write a book in 6 weeks. You know, usually people, and even myself, usually I would have said, I can't do this either. I'm writing two or three other books. I can't, whatever. And it just was like a right place, right time. And I spoke to her lawyer, Jim, on the phone, who a lot of people know because he's on the show frequently.
Jim was with her during jail times.
Yes, exactly. He's a great guy. And so I talked to Jim on the phone. He was like, let's get you to meet Teresa. You're going to write this book. I went to New Jersey, had dinner with her, and the next day went to her house and started writing the book. And the book was written 5 weeks later.
Wow. Now, what was this novel called?
This was called Standing Strong. So this was a memoir, her memoir. So she had written a book called Turning the Tables, which was the book about her being in jail.
Yeah,
and Standing Strong was essentially the year after coming out of jail and her experience with Joe then going to jail, because they didn't go at the same time.
How did that do out in like the world? I mean, I feel like the Teresa fans, it did.
Oh, it did great. All of her books do great. She has so many fans, and
doesn't she?
She's interesting to people. I think she's so interesting to people because she's aspirational and inspirational. I think a lot of people want to be her or have things that she has, but she's also a really, truly normal person, just raising her kids, doing the best she can. She is the hardest worker I know. Nobody hustles harder than Teresa does.
Really?
And not only that, but she will be at, I was at an event with her in Ridgefield, Connecticut, that probably wasn't done until 11 p.m. that night. And she was then driving back to New Jersey, picking up her daughter and heading for another like 3 hour drive just so that she could be at her soccer tournament or whatever it was for the weekend. So nothing stops her. It's work, kids. And of course, now she is engaged.
And Louie. Work, kids, Louie. Wow. And so was she friendly to you?
The most friendly. The first day, I always tell this story because I think it's so funny. The first day I went to her house to start the book, I was probably there for 5 minutes and someone called on the phone and she needed to run and get one of her kids somewhere. It was going to take 5 minutes. And she said, you know, I'm so sorry. I'm just going to run and pick up whichever kid it was. I'll be back in 5 minutes. And I was like, yeah, no problem. She left. And I'm sitting there thinking, this woman has just left me alone in her home. She doesn't know me. I could go through her drawers. I could take video.
So I see Teresa in terms of trusting, we haven't learned too many lessons there.
So she's very trustworthy. I always tell her a little too trustworthy, but she's trustworthy, I think, when she feels that, you know, it's the right situation. And she's the nicest person ever. She's become a very good friend of mine now. In fact, I was just speaking to her yesterday.
Well, when we saw An Ultimate Girls Trip, and I've been saying this on the podcast, I felt like we got, and I know it sounds strange, a more accurate portrayal of her.
Definitely.
I think it's like something's going on with Jersey. It's almost like the way when you're with your family, you regress.
Yeah.
In Ultimate Girls Trip, I feel like she breezed in, and granted, Melissa was there, but she breezed in open, fun.
Yep.
Much nicer than she comes off sometimes.
Yeah. No, she is a really nice person. I think she's got some tough personalities to deal with on Jersey. I think it goes both ways.
She's among one of those personalities at times, Emily. And I'm sorry to come right in. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I said it goes both ways. For sure. For sure.
Who do you think is the toughest for her to deal with, out of curiosity?
Oh, Margaret. Without a doubt. Oh. It's not because I think Margaret's done anything wrong or anything like that. I also wrote Margaret's book and I adore Margaret.
Wow.
But I think they clash. I think that.
And you're a cast member, essentially, on The Real Housewives.
I was on the show last season on probably 4 or 5 episodes. So we filmed a couple of episodes of Margaret and I writing the book together at her house.
You asked some very thoughtful questions, I felt.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I think I made her cry in one of the episodes.
Do they just cry the whole time telling you their stories?
They do. Teresa really only teared up when she spoke about her parents. She's very tough. She's very strong. Margaret also is very strong and tough. But there was a lot of, you know, stuff to talk about with her that definitely brought up emotions.
So funny, because like Deanna and I, you know, girlfriends share things, you know, it's like we have the same, you know, waxer, we have the same this and that, but to share the same ghostwriter, I've never heard of it. And I like it.
And it feels very personal. Like, I wonder if Teresa was like, can you leave my ghostwriter alone? You know, can you find your own ghostwriter?
We asked Teresa before we went ahead with it. It was important to me to have her blessing with it, that she was okay with it and she was fine with it. She knows that I, you know, have a job and need to do, or want to do certain projects, and she wouldn't stand in the way of that. And then at the end of the season, the whole cast, minus Melissa, because she wasn't feeling well that day, came on my yacht for the day. That is maybe what you remember. And that is when everything about Louis came out.
Wow.
So.
Right, because we were wondering how, with love, now I understand more because you have a million books, but it was like, how does a ghostwriter have a yacht, right? That was the question mark.
There was a lot of commentary about, well, she must be doing well ghostwriting these books. And the truth is, obviously, I have a successful career. I also have a partner who has a very successful career. So between the two of us.
Yes, yes, yes.
We got a yacht.
We have a lovely yacht. Yes.
We got a yacht.
And I like hearing someone say, we were on my yacht. Like, because you just dropped it.
It is what it is.
And it is what it is.
But it's facts. It's facts.
A fact. It also gave me a lift. Do you know what I mean? Like, I got a little hit off of it. And then, like, it's a good thing for somebody to drop in casual conversation, like in your hoodie with your hair in a bun, like also like, yeah, guess what? Here's what.
Right. Because I look like I should be on a yacht right now in my, you know, sweatshirt and no makeup.
Oh, but that makes it even more thrilling.
It's thrilling.
It's like, I'm in my closet. I've got a yacht. These are facts that say a lot about someone.
That sentence and the way you dropped it will repeat on me for the rest of my life.
I mean, you can't see it, but I'm actually wearing diamond pants right now. You just don't see that.
Right.
Because you're empty.
Okay. Yeah. Got it.
I look like,
it.
You know.
And by that, you mean you've vajazzled your
my
nethers.
Leggings. Yeah, totally.
Wow. So to do Margaret Joseph, so how many hours are you spending with these gals?
A lot.
Hundreds?
A lot. I mean, I would say, you know, I don't know. I don't even know if I could actually quantify that, but many, many hours over the course. We had longer to write Margaret's book. We had a few months to write that. So I'm spending a lot of time with them over the course of, and there's a whole editing process. So, you know, for 6 months, a year, they're a big part of my life.
What I would have given to have a ghostwriter. Like, writing is so difficult. And I'm not saying it's just a hard process. You're sitting there alone. It sounds so nice, having written a memoir, to just simply like tell someone your stories and then you're doing the fucking heavy lifting.
You know, they do. You know, I think the misconception with a ghostwriter is that you know, the author just tells the story and then the ghostwriter just writes it from start to finish. And I'm sure there are certain circumstances where that is the case, depending on the individual. But in my experience, it's they tell me their stories. I write a chapter. I send it to them. They read it. They edit it. They give comments. It's a very, I think of them more as really collaborations than just ghostwrites.
That's nice. That's very nice,
thank
Emily.
You.
That's very nice.
The party line.
Yeah, that's very nice.
So I see that you made your way from one Jersey member to another. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to just connect a dot and let me know if it's connectable to a ghostwriter question that was a large part of Real Housewives of New York with Carol, What Lies Beneath.
Yep.
Anything there?
wonderful to close that circle, Deanna, and thank you.
You know, I have only met Carol one time. She was very lovely to me when I met her.
You're like, and when I met her, she was dictating her book to someone in a coffee shop.
Right, totally. No, she, you know, I really have no idea whether there's truth to that or not. I don't know whether someone helped her with the book or not. She's a seasoned journalist, though. And I think Carol, although I can't say for sure, I believe Carol was probably capable of writing her own book. I don't know if she had help.
I hate to keep raining on parades, guys. It doesn't feel good. And you're so lovely, Emily. I happen to know there was someone involved in her book. But again, God bless. I think it was more her reaction to it.
I don't understand what the big deal is. I don't understand why admitting it is a big deal. That's the thing.
I think it's actually for what you just said, which is that she's a serious journalist.
Well, for her, maybe.
You know, you got a Teresa, you got a Margaret. I'm like, great, get your cup of coffee. They're going to spin their yarn. You are going to come in as a serious journalist and make a beautiful book for them. And I think it was just that that book, What Remains, is such a beautiful book. And I think that this is hard. The follow-up that she did about dating was so wildly, now granted, the subject matter could not have been more different. But we also saw her on the show struggling to write like a 1,000-word thing for Glamour. And I think that book is one of the most poignant novels I've ever read. And then to have the defense of it be so strong. And then, you know, we've heard some things both on Boots on the Ground, both from different book editors I've spoken to, that I just think that she wasn't being totally truthful. And again, it's like, there's no shame in it if you come out and own anything. But that's not what happened.
She should have just said, I had some help with it, but I'm a journalist and I wrote a lot of it myself, and it would have gone away, rather than defending it so vehemently, or denying it, rather.
You know, I'll say this now, we can cut it later if we need. I've heard that, you know, the person that was her ghostwriter, it's a little tough because that person is not allowed to really say, this is the book I wrote and it's such a beautiful book, that this person is a bit hamstrung and has to really like dance around it, trying to get her own work. And it's a tougher scenario.
You know, I'm surprised they must have had some specific kind of agreement about that, because I am not allowed to give you all the details of what happened behind the scenes when I was writing the book, or speak, you know, negatively about things that I saw or that, you know, were not in the book. But I'm certainly allowed to say I wrote so-and-so's book, or I'm writing so-and-so's book. Your name, usually your name is in it somewhere. With Margaret and Teresa, my name was inside the book, and I am working. I'm not sure if I can say who, but I am working with one of the house husbands now.
Uh-oh. I'm nervous.
He has a big career of his own, and it has nothing to do with the housewives. That's all I'll say.
It's Maurizio. There's no other house husband that could sell a book.
What about Heather's husband?
Oh, Dr. D.
He may have already written books. Maybe. I don't know about that.
Yeah, remember he and Heather always like back-to-back on their books?
Yeah.
PK is coming to mind.
Okay. I don't. Let's think.
You probably already said it.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Anything else, Deanna, we want to ask? I mean, this has been.
I mean, I have a question that is an important
Go.
One. This is nothing. Did Teresa put out pinoli cookies for you? Is my question.
No, she did not. But I did, when I was writing the book with her, her father was alive. He has since sadly passed away. And they would do, and I think they probably still do, these Italian dinners every Sunday, but they happen at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And so went to those, and her father was the most amazing, fantastic man, period, but also a phenomenal cook. And by the way, Teresa is a phenomenal cook too. She has many cookbooks.
You can smell it off the screen, the warmth in that kitchen.
They would just like feed me because I love to eat. And her dad would be like, I don't understand. You're so skinny. We have to feed you. And he would just like give me cheese.
Teresa eat the pasta? Because Teresa seems to have been kind of like less restrictive this season. I'm seeing her have this and have a mimosa there.
When she was doing the bodybuilding, she had to keep it very tight. She couldn't drink. She ate meals that were delivered. And her dad was so amazing with it. He would go to the market and he would be like, okay, like, what do you need and how do you need it made? Like, no oil, no butter. Like, he made everything healthy for her. And she is so disciplined. I mean, she just stuck to it. I mean, she really, like, it's hard when you're filming and not to drink anything.
Not to drink, even, with those gals coming at you left, right, and center.
But I have to say, Margaret doesn't drink at all. Not a sip.
What?
No. She does not drink.
I did not compute that.
Never.
Is that because of a past with alcohol?
No, she does not have a past with alcohol, but, and this is in the book, so I can say it. She grew up and watching her mother who drank too much and the not good things that came of it, and it turned her off from it, and she never, ever drinks.
Do you like Melissa? Do you like Melissa?
Yes, Deanna. Thank you.
Emily
is.
She's looking
causing,
off to
she
the. Stared,
she opened her mouth,
area.
But she didn't
is.
Say anything.
She's coming back, but she's hesitant.
She's fine.
Slam! Slam of a lifetime,
Emily. For the last four or so episodes, you know, this whole time, I will admit. You know, I've always really liked Melissa, and I thought she's the normal kind of grounded one. And here's Teresa, hot, hot, hot. You know, and I shared an Italian heritage with Teresa. I stand beside her when I say I know that kind of fiery temper that can, you know, occur with great passion and love. But I'll tell you this, on this podcast in the last season, we've started to see something. And what our working theory is that all this time we may have gotten it wrong.
I think you have it wrong. I'm team Teresa. You know, Teresa, you've seen Teresa and Melissa. They have their issues on the show. And I love Teresa. I'll leave it at that.
And you think the problem with Melissa as a person is that she's self-involved?
For one.
You think she's making things happen behind the scenes that we're not aware of as an audience?
I don't know about that. I just, I should say, I don't know her that well. Let me first say that. I also come into the situation as obviously Teresa's good friend. So, you know, I'm not sure how that, you know, sits or lands with her. She's always been nice.
Wow. You've said something here.
Yeah, you have.
You have.
What I get off Melissa a lot is just it's in the air. It's not what she's saying. It's not what even the way her face has been arranged when she walks into a room and sees Teresa. But it's just simmering. She despises Teresa. That's what I feel off of her.
They definitely have their issues
energetically. Yeah, I mean Teresa, we just heard, is not asking her to be a bridesmaid out of 11. That's hard, you know.
Who has a more natural sense on a yacht?
Yeah, who's got yacht sense?
Teresa or Margaret? Who's got yacht vibes?
That's funny.
Out of curiosity.
Probably both of them in different ways. It's funny you should ask that. Okay. Yeah. No, every one of the cast members seemed very comfortable on the boat.
Okay.
I'm sure. And what do you make of Jackie?
We stared off again. I love when you stare off. I know something good is coming.
She was very nice. I've only met her two or three times. She seems like a very nice person. Her husband seems like a nice guy. I'm not sure she's right for the show. I think it's like too much for her. Mm. You know, I think she... has a lot of, obviously, she's been very open about a lot of eating issues. And I think, I don't think she has as tough of a skin as some of these other ladies do. Which, by the way, is there's nothing wrong with that. I think Jackie is probably a woman who was leading a very normal life with her loving husband, her kids, and had a very nice life. Not that life isn't nice now, but I think the show is a lot for her. And when you observe them filming the show, Teresa and Margaret are pros. Nothing flusters them. Nothing gets under their skin. They just know how to handle it and know how to deal. And I think Jackie's a little newer to it, as is Jennifer, who's also a lovely person, by the way, and gets a really bad rap on the show, I think.
Well, I mean, she said some things that you can't come back from.
You can always come back on this show.
I like Jennifer. Yeah, you can. I like Jennifer. I felt actually just this episode, I'm like, so first time I've seen her own anything. But I have a soft, big soft spot for
Jennifer. New, and I think for whatever reason, I don't know why, like, have you watched other seasons before you go on this show? Like, don't you know how things always come back to bite you and how anything you say is relived and relived and relived? I think sometimes when you're in
A lot of people come out of the box hot. They come out
hot. Yeah, and when you're in it, you don't realize it because you're saying so much and so much is being recorded that it's like, what are they actually going to use, you know? Also, I think
every word.
People feel the need to keep themselves relevant and keep themselves in the drama. So they stir the pot intentionally in order to keep that people wanting them on the show. But Jennifer is also a good, nice person. And she and Teresa have a really nice friendship.
Is she going to be a bridesmaid?
I don't know. You know, I have to ask Teresa. I'm sure you saw in the news, Teresa was in the hospital.
Yes.
She's totally fine. It was not something cosmetic. I just spoke to her yesterday. It was a very standard something. We all go through it. Not everyone, but, you know.
I did see that headline came out pretty quick.
I mean, it was all totally, you know, fine. And she's great.
It's a tough headline that people are just like, we know we got to refute this.
Right. Exactly. So I think that I wouldn't be surprised if Jennifer is a bridesmaid, but I cannot confirm or deny.
I think Teresa said on Watch What Happens Live that no one from the cast is a bridesmaid.
That's probably a good move. I'm guessing Priscilla.
See, I think that's because she doesn't want Melissa and she's trying to come up with some framing device, some reason we can hang a hat on.
And I would definitely say Dina Manzo. And then she has other really close friends who are not on the show. Teresa has very tight real friends.
She seems like a Ramona in the sense of like, this is a gal with a lot of girlfriends.
Yes, but I imagine that all of Teresa's friends really like her.
Wow. Emily Liebert, thank you so much.
Wow.
For your insights. And this was really nice to sit down with you. And maybe one day I'll give you a call.
Thank you so much. This is so fun. I love nothing than spending my time gossiping about the housewives.
Yeah, I would like to, you know, try out my yacht sense if you're ever offering.
You are invited. You know. Yeah. But I mean, where are you? Are you in California?
I'm in LA, but I move around, you know?
And yachts move around. Yachts move around too. Guess what also moves?
They do. I don't think this one's moving to California. But it is in Miami now. If you'd like to come down, I'm in Miami currently as well.
I am going to Miami in 2 weeks, and I'm just throwing that out there.
Are you? You will have to email me those dates, because if you are here while I am here, you are coming on the yacht, my friend.
Wow. Okay, my hands are shaking.
I will be here a lot in April, so you hit me up. Let me know when. And our friend Heather might be here as well. So,
wow. Thank you, Emily. Above and beyond, you know, that was above. Thank you, Deanna, for getting us there. I would never have asked. Thank you so much, Emily, for being here. We really appreciate it. Nice talking with you.
Thank you, guys.
Deanna Marie, what a journey we've been on. Thank you, Emily Liebert. Love you, Danielle Schneider. Thank you, Caitlin Moldenhauer, our editor and producer. Thank you, Earwolf. Thank you, Amelia. And I would love for you to give a little plug, a very lovely, wonderful plug. Deanna, what do you got?
This, I know it's in a bit, but May 5th through 8th, just get on your calendar and you live in LA. The show I directed called Hot Dogs and Tears, written and starring Mel Stevens, will be going up at the Actors Company in West Hollywood. And then that is really in preparation for our trip to Edinburgh this summer for the Fringe Festival, taking the show there. So excited. So,
I mean, the show has been transferred to Edinburgh because it's that good. And I'm so glad it's coming back to LA so we can also enjoy it here. I saw it. It's phenomenal. Mel Stevens is an incredible performer. Deanna, just give us the line. What's it about? Because I think this will really be of interest to people. And it's a comedy, but what it's about.
It's a comedy. And we are doing it in tandem with Tom DeTrinis. This show called I Hate New York, directed by Drew Drogi. And Mel is, you know, it's her journey of being someone who is from Georgia, on the spectrum, been through, you know, AA, and trying to figure out what came first, the chicken or the egg. And she is just, she's just next level funny and emotion. This show is so, like, it hits you. It's emotional. It's dealing with family and just sort of figuring out if you can move forward in a gray area in life, even though a lot of tough things have happened. So I don't know if that's a great explanation, but I love the show so much.
And you've done a beautiful job directing it. I loved it so much.
Thank you.
Tell us the name again. Dates:
May 5th through the 8th. Hot Dogs and Tears at the Actors Company in West Hollywood.
Yay.
And as always, feel free to swing through the Montage Queen. I mean, if you're looking for a montage, come my way. And this has been so much fun, Casey. I had such a blast. I loved going down memory lane and dealing with these housewives. And I look forward to getting on that yacht and trying out my yacht sense at some point.
I think you've got great yacht sense.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.